and verse 15. And Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray now as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that our hearts are turning towards you. The Lord, we are prepared to listen. That though the subject of being a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother will be the focus of what we speak of, Lord, I pray that these words fall upon every ear here. That, Lord, these be instruction not just for the mother, nor the mother that's raising children. Lord, I know many of them have gone and flown the coop. But, Lord, for all of us, that, Lord, we would see our need for wisdom, see our need for obedience to you in the words we speak this morning. For its name in Jesus we pray. Amen. The rod and reproof give wisdom. You know, I tell you what, we've got many problems today in our society. You know, I look at our politics and I say, man, I wish some of these folks were given a little bit more discipline when they were kids. You need to see the way they behave and the way they talk, the way they speak to each other, and the ideas that they have. You know, today, being a mother is a more grand thing than it ever has been before. When we think of all the ways that a woman could choose to kill her unborn child that we have, it is outstanding now to be someone who has them. Now, personally, I believe what the Bible believes, and that is that the choice to have a child is not made the morning after. The choice to have a child is made with a physical act. And once that decision has been made and that act has taken place, you're committed, for better or for worse. But today we see the need more than ever for not just moms, but godly moms, wise moms, moms who can give and teach discipline. I know many of you have this conversation. We have this conversation. Let's say you're not allowed to spank your kids anymore. And of course we see there that rod. That rod saying, hey, that rod will teach wisdom. Now, I had a conversation with Danielle recently, and it kind of boiled down to this. I would rather be the worst thing that happened to my child when something bad happens right now. Because when they are older, they will not get to pick who is being difficult with them. Amen? Because I can sit there and I can say, all right, listen, that's enough of that behavior. One more and you get a spanking. And then they do that one more and what do they get? And that's it. But their boss will fire them. No job, no food. Right? No job, no place to stay. I want to be the bad guy right now. I want to teach you that if you don't follow these rules, punishment will come. There'll come a time at the end of their lives when they must have made that decision either to trust the Lord as their Savior, repent of their sins, right, or not. And there is a punishment for not. And I'd rather be somebody who teaches them what punishment is when it can be small. I'd rather 5 minutes in a chair than to have to hear about trouble that they're having out there in the world. I would rather put a little rod to their bottoms than to sit there and say, hey, come pick up your kid. He's down here in the jailhouse. I've met moms who've had to do that. We know moms who have had to do that. That makes them sad, does it not? Isn't it a sad thing to have to go through? So I tell you what, I would rather be that person that gets into the face and says, hey, we don't do that here, than to let punishment come. And punishment in a way that they can't control and will only seek to hurt them later. Because you want to know what? Mom, it can be hard nowadays, giving discipline. How do I do it? What's the best way to do it? And personally, I think every child has their own brand, right? Every child has their own buttons you can push. You know, I won't go through all mine because my kids are here. But each one, you got to handle just a little bit differently. And when you get that figured out, hey, I know how to get it done. And I also know how to get things to stop from happening, right? I know the right motivators. I know the right discouragers for each of my children. Moms, it can be hard. Patience can be drawn to a limit. And let's face it, you know, it's very hard for a one family income. There's a lot of moms that are out there pulling double duty. They're being moms. They have full-time jobs. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't fathom it. Couldn't fathom it. You know, sit there and be able to do both things. It is a difficult thing, for sure. But I tell you what, it is good to do it godly. As a matter of fact, with the level of pressure that is on moms today, it is better to do it godly. There's no other way than the godly way to approach raising your child. Because we've got a lot of people out there today, they don't know the difference between right and wrong. It has been washed out of our society, painted over time and time again with every new philosophy, the difference between right and wrong. I tell you what, ask Brother Tim about some of the kids we see today that ride on his bus. Better yet, you got a teacher in your life, you sit that teacher down. Buy him lunch. Hey, tell me about these kids nowadays. Nowadays, a kid will do wrong in school, the mom will come up and yell at the teacher. Get the teacher in trouble because the kid threw something across the room. Kid can say whatever they want. And then the mom hears about it. My kid would never. Well, guess what? They would. Why? Because I tell you what, I love my kids, but you know what they are? They're sinners just like their daddy. They're just as fallible as I am. And I'll tell you what, I know the stuff I got up to when I was a kid. They're capable of it. And every other kid's capable of it, just like you were capable of it. And the people who will be born to that generation, if the Lord tarries is coming, will also be capable of. Mischievous. Troublemaking. We got to teach them right from wrong. Hey, this is what the Bible says you ought not do. This is what the Bible says that you should do. In our house, I make a very big deal about yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Well, that's not very politically correct anymore. What if they misgender somebody? Then, sorry, don't be so ambiguous. You want to be called something proper. You want to be called right. You want to be picked right. Be a little bit more obvious about what you are. Right? You can't dress up like one thing and expect to be called another. It's just not the way it's going to work. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Why? Respect. Would you say that we've got a problem with respect of authority in this country? As a matter of fact, we just because of a few bad apples, and I would say few, I mean, we probably got more than just a few bad apples out there. We think that because there's some bad apples in authority, that it's okay for us to reject authority altogether. You look around this world, you tell me, how's that working? Raise your hand if you remember a time when you wouldn't have even thought of locking your front door. Raise your hand if you've got a camera on your door now. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't think about it, right? If anybody got into your house, it was your neighbor. She was borrowing 2 eggs. She'd bring them back tomorrow, right? And that's okay because you still got her butter dish, you know? Things have changed. Why? Respect. Within the bounds of godly right and wrong, we've lost precious truths of respect, of discipline. I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about some self-discipline. Controlling yourself, minding yourself, holding yourself to the standard. Of whose standard? God's standard. I tell you what, I don't want to be as good as my teachers wanted me to be. I never want to be found as good as my mom and dad wanted me to be. Why? Because inside each of those are philosophies that are always changing. I want to be as good as God wants me to be. I want His standard. Because every now and then I'll get around a leader. And leaders like to make exceptions for themselves sometimes. Hey, we always do this. Unless it's a problem for me. We always do this. Unless personally I can benefit from doing something else. Why do we have that? Because they're riding on their own standard. They're riding on what they can get away with. Well, they've had some problems down there in the Flint leadership with that recently, haven't they? Got issues with people doing this or doing that. Why? By their own standard. You see problems with that in churches. Things aren't going to their standard. There's problems when we fall by man's standard. We need God's standard because I tell you what, it is above and beyond man. It is better than what we can come up with. It is not changeable because it has no need to change. Honesty is always good, right? Given that good report is always in favor. Being peaceful, loving, kind, forgiving, right? Caring for others. That has always been good. Not always in fashion, but always been good. That's what we need. We need some moms teaching godly right and wrong. And I know you would never say it to me, but I can almost hear it. But preacher, do you know how old I am? No, because I was raised better than to ask. But I know this. God sharpens us instruments differently, doesn't he? Some of us were raised sharp in some places right out of the house, and we were honed in places where we were dull later on. And what you were sharpened with when you were a kid was probably different than what I was sharpened with. Lord strikes us and sharpens us at different points and different times of our lives. We all have maturity to do, is what I'm trying to say. Right? I might be strong in a spot you're weak. You might be weak in a spot where I'm strong. Did I say that right? Okay. Might be. But God matures us at different points in different ways. So we all have that room for growth. But I'll even say this. Even though your children may have gone on and they have children. Some of you, those children have children. You're a great grandparent now. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you this, being a citadel of godly right and wrong never, never stops being helpful. Your great-grandchildren will look back. There's some things that I do today. I only do because my great-grandmother expected it out of me. When we were a kid, we weren't allowed to make a lot of noise at the table. Right? When we came to the table, we couldn't make a lot of noise. She asked us questions. We talked to her. We could talk quietly to ourselves. When we went out to eat, the only thing we were allowed to do is draw on the back of the placemat. And she'd play games with us and things like that. To this day, you come by our dinner table. That's what my kids do. Why? It works. Right? I ain't picking one way or the other. Your kid has a little toy there at the dinner table. I'm not here to judge. I'm just saying there's stuff I do because my great-grandmother does it or did it. That is what, and you know what I learned? That's when I began to learn when to shut up and listen. Not perfect at it, but that's when I learned, shut up, listen. And I'd hear my grandmother talk about, my great-grandmother's talk about stuff. This is right, and this is what you ought to do, and sit up, and next time we go out, I'd like it if you combed your hair a little bit. You look so handsome when you comb your hair. All right, great-grandma. I'd be, hey, Matt, we're going over to Grammy's house. Okay, hold on. Tuck my shirt in. Hold on. All right. Respect. Well, that's old-fashioned. You know what? Not everything old-fashioned is wrong. A lot of the old-fashioned things we threw out, and we threw out the good that came with it. A little bit of respect. A little bit of I don't do that. I would never do that. We don't act aggressive. We don't get mean. We don't yell. We don't holler at each other. We approach with forgiveness. All the principles that God has given us in the Word, we need to teach right and wrong. And when we teach right, we better be modeling what is right. Not setting that double standard of, hey, we're not having dessert today. But then when you wake up, mom and dad's ice cream bowls are in the sink. Now it goes deeper than that. You know I mean that. I better not ever catch you lying. I better not ever catch you stealing. And every now and then, mom throws a little bit right here. Every now and then, there's that little white lie that, hey, don't tell mom. Don't tell dad. Right? Don't, you better not lie to me, son. But lie to your mom about this. Lie to your dad about that. Consistency. All the way through. In how I act. Right? As a mom, you ought to be the model. Now, dads, you're not off the hook. When I say mom, I ain't letting dad off the hook here, all right? But moms, you ought to be examples. Examples of what it is to do and be godly. So we model what is right, and we need to punish what's wrong. We need to punish what's wrong. Now again, in varying degrees, right? My mom had this look that she would give me, and to be honest with you, I'd rather her spank me. Just hit me, Ma. Don't look at me like that. Ma knew that if she shot me that look, I look over at my brother. That was the line. That was the line, bro. We gotta dial it off. Give mom about 30 seconds to cool off. We'll head back at it again. You know, just wait. Sometimes it's that talking to, hey, that's inappropriate. I don't want you doing that. I want you to stop doing that. Okay. My mom had this brilliant punishment she did. I brought home a bad report card. Now, here's what followed as a bad report card. I was never expected straight A's. But if I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, if my bad grades came from not turning homework in and not trying and just goofing around. Like if I got, you know, that comment section in the report card, if that was full, that's a bad report card. So if I was a straight B student, my mom would have been happy. If I was a C student, my mom would have been happy. But if I'm a C and the problem was I didn't turn in homework, not good. You know what my mom would do? I would have to sit after school. I'd come home from school. I'd sit at the dinner table with these big squashy seats, I remember. And I'd have to do my homework right there. And then I was allowed a book. No TV, right? No playing around outside. Sit there until bedtime. Reading a book, doing my schoolwork. And if I ever got bored or complained I got bored, I got more work on top of it. Helped with the chores. But I didn't get TV. I didn't get to go play in my room. It was just that. And I think I already told you this before. By the time for progress reports, not the other report card, progress reports came around, I ran my progress report back to my mom. Freedom! You know? You know, I felt like Moses going there, let my people go. It was rough. I tell you what, you need to teach that. I don't know if I'd ever go as far as she did. But there needs to be some reproof, some correction for when those kids do wrong. Why? Because don't you understand? You have a way of punishing your child in a safe way. To teach them that relationship between right and wrong in a safe way before they get to other people who don't care about them. Don't you understand? Why did my mom punish me the way she did? Because she didn't want me to drop out of school. Guess what? I didn't. Not because, and after a while, as I grew up, it no longer became a matter of me being terrified of what mom was going to do. Because with those lessons came the conversation. This is what you're doing to your future when you do this. Don't you understand what you're going to do? If you practice laziness, laziness will be your practice the rest of your life. You got to get this done because that'll be your principal throwing you out of the school. That'll be your boss firing you. That'll be people in your life not wanting to be around you. I got to do this now while it's safe, right? We put the training wheels on so that you don't bruise up your knee or you don't bash your head in when you're older. We get those punishments in, right? And then I tell you what, they're various. I tell you what, if you pay close enough attention to your child will tell you what they would rather not do, right? They would tell you what kind of punishment meets the worst. You know, I've said this before. You know, there's a few things. You know, my mom could do that. My mom could just give you that look. And I'd rather the spanking. I tell you what, my dad gave hard spankings. My dad was rough. He'd pull that belt off. Now, he didn't do it often, but when he did it, he did it. There was a time in my life when he looked over at me and he says, I'm disappointed in you. And I would have rathered the belt. See, it's important in safe ways and good ways. We teach the relationship of what happens when we do wrong. Now, some fail in that they only ever punish the wrong. With punishment, there can't just be scaring them to death and then being done. You have to explain. You see that grounding from your video games you just got for X amount of weeks? I want you, because you didn't do your work, you got that, right? Yeah. Right? That being stuck at the dinner table for all these weeks. You remember that? Yeah. That's going to be your boss firing you one day. Oh. That's going to be your house collapsing because you didn't take care of it. Oh. Remember those chores I gave you, Matt? Oh, yeah. You didn't do those chores, did you? No. All right, so there goes your bike for 2 weeks. Oh, that's the same as your house getting cluttered up, bad stuff happening, this or that. These are the things that will happen. Mommy is controlling the punishments now, but in the future, there's no controlling them. In the future, you don't get to pick. Right? There was a story of somebody recently. They thought they had a mouse problem, but they were concerned at the amount of space and things, because they had a messy house, a really messy house. Turned out they had a raccoon in their house. That's bigger than a mouse, by the way. Why? And take care of things. You didn't take care of things, you let massive amounts of clutter come in, and all of a sudden now you got wild animals living in your house, and I ain't talking about the kids. It's awful. You don't get to control those things. But as a parent, I can control some small things. I could turn that TV off for a few weeks. I could remove this. You know, I could get that rod out. Right? That little correction, that little bit of discipline. Teaching them again the difference between right and wrong. But again, it can't just be punishment. It must be punishment with reason. Punishment laced with logic so they understand the lesson. It's not just you do this or you don't do this because you are afraid of mommy and daddy. It's got to be because you're afraid of what will happen when you do this wrong thing in the future. And I ain't here to make it better. My boys got up this morning. They made breakfast for mommy. Xander popped the toast. Caspian made the eggs. Gideon stirred the coffee. Melody, she was there. Where was I? I was right there. All right, Cass, let me show you. All right, but be careful. Don't start that yet. Okay, now go ahead and turn the oven on. I have no stove on. Here I am. Okay, good. Good. Why? Because if anything bad happened, I wanted to be there to control it, right? There I am. And I tell you what, it went great. Boys did a really good job this morning, right? Don't want anything bad to happen to them. That's why we put that correction in there. I'm here to avoid the bad things for you, to stop the bad things for you, right? And as a mom, that's part of your job, to stop the bad things from happening. Now, eventually, he ain't going to need me to help him turn the stove on. Eventually, they're not going to need my help to do anything. And as bittersweet as that's going to be, I'm going to praise the Lord. But that won't happen for those children if we don't manage the bad and teach them right and wrong. What happens if you touch this pan right now? It'll burn. So what do I do when we're messing around? Well, okay, hold on. You take 5 seconds over there to calm your jitters. Just give them a reminder. We don't touch the hot stuff. Okay, all right. Now get back in there. Okay. We teach them. We manage the wrong. And sometimes we can do that by being the one to apply the discipline ahead of time. We got to punish the wrong. And I would say this, that it's important for us. In every parenting book I've read, it talks about the will of a child. Now, there's two things you got to be aware of. There's the will of the child and the spirit of the child. Now, the will of a child is that drive, that that impulse that they have that says, run out into the street, scream at the top of my lungs. Just that unbreakableness that, okay, it's Christmas morning, do not get out of your bed until 8 o'clock, and they get up for the first time ever at 5 in the morning with no complaints, right? That's the will of the child. And when it comes down to discipline, physical or not, corrective discipline, it is up to us to apply discipline that breaks that will. The problem comes when instead of the will, we break the spirit. We break the spirit. And there's a difference. Xander, can I pick on you? Preacher's child, you don't have a choice. Come on. Now, I want you to try to walk off the stage. Just walk off right here, right? Okay, yep, there you go. Walk off the stage. That's corrective discipline. Don't do that. Come on, come on. Breaking the will looks like this. Go that way. All right? That's breaking the will. Don't do that. Sit down, Charlie Chaplin. Go. Oh. That's breaking the will. When the child no longer does the wrong thing. No, this. Breaking the spirit would be if I clotheslined the boy, embarrassed him in front of you, and then threw him that way. That hurts him. You understand the difference? I want to change what he does, not ruin who he is. Right? You know, Melody, she'll do that. She'll pitch a fit. She's strong-willed. Oh, she's so strong-willed. And you know what? She doesn't put up with stuff. She will beat on Gideon if she has to. Nobody messes with her. And there's a part of that I want her to hang on to, right? That strength inside, I want her to hang on to that. But I just got to get her to stop beating on her brothers. I don't want to break the spirit of who they are. I don't want to bust them up. I don't want to shred their personality. I don't want to crack them. I just need them to understand that this hand ain't going anywhere. You got to go there. I am always here. The problem that we have is that we stop focusing on the will of the child and we focus on the spirit of the child and we end up breaking the spirit of the child instead. Where we get hurtful and mean. We hurt that child inside. And we think that if we hurt the child inside, that will make them more pliable. No, no. Consistency is what breaks the will. Right? I know he was just trying to be goofy, but walking into that wall. Walking and walking and walking. That wall ain't moving. Mom and Dad, sometimes we move when we shouldn't move. We're permissive when we shouldn't be permissive. And then we try to compensate by stabbing at the child. If I make them hurt inside, they'll listen to me. You mow them over if you want. But you're going to end up with a damaged spirit and a will that's never changed. So we need to teach them, no, this is always going to be a no. Under my house, around me, this will always be a no. And I'll even show them, there are stairs here. There are dangers here. And the reason why my hand is here stopping you is to stop you from busting yourself up here. Right? So here I am. And a lot of times, we've got to do that because they're not ready for a thing. Right? So then eventually it was, all right, in this breaking of their will or shaping of their will, I'll come down here. All right, you're ready for this step. We talked about that this morning, right? Give you a little bit more room here because you've proven yourself that you can think enough for this step. Perfect. Now this one. All right, it's time for you to move out. You know how to pay your bills, balance your checkbook. You know about right and wrong. You know about relationships. You know about all the stuff you need to know. Now, this door, she's always open to you, right? My phone always rings for you. 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, it rings for you. You need help, you call mom. You need help, you call dad. And I'm here to help you, give you advice, talk about things, right? So again, we want to break the will. And then we want to shape the will to where the child can use their will, to where the child can have a will to do the right thing and be able to stop that strong will to prevent them from doing the wrong thing. Right? Because, I mean, you know about children, no matter how old they are, right? They could be 4, they could be 40. They'll do dangerous things, right? Think, hey, well, that's not really a good thing for you to do. And of course, they don't want to listen. But you need to be there as that voice of reason, pointing them back to the will and the words of God. So we see that rod and that reproof, that correction, what does it bring? Well, according to this verse here, it brings wisdom. Right, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Right, what they can do there is they can then, as you are there to correct the wrong and to instruct on the right, because remember, discipline takes two forms. There's corrective discipline and there's formative discipline, right? Teaching them how to do things and then having things in place to correct them when they fall off, right? When I am properly reproving and using the rod of correction, wisdom steps in. All right, this is bad behavior. Now, again, this is where it's important because we're building up. Why is it wrong for me to tell a lie? Mom finds out, she tears up my hide. No. It's wrong to lie because God says it's wrong to lie. It confuses things. It ends relationships. It creates a personality for me. Or it says something about my integrity. Right? It puts me into a bad place. I'm doing evil, right? All those things. So no, mom taught me. And I'll tell you this, last time she caught me lying, she did tear up my hide. But now I understand as a more adult why I shouldn't do this. Because it's not just going to get me out of trouble, it's going to sink me deeper into it. Right? Why is forgiveness so important? Why is showing love to your neighbor and to your enemy so important? Why? Because God says it is. And here's the myriad of also benefits that come along with it. And here's the punishments and the bad things that could happen if I don't act that way. Wisdom. Taking knowledge and being able to properly apply it to your situation. That's wisdom. The ability to put those animals together and get them to work. Knowledge and action. So we teach them that. Go to Proverbs 31:25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now there comes a time, Mom, when those kids leave the house. For some of you, trust me, it will happen. but no, there comes a time. And they're out there, and they're doing things. And we sit there and we say, well, now that they're grown, there's nothing I can do to affect their behavior. You can. And you ain't got to have long conversations with them. You ain't got to preach at them. You really don't have to do anything other than what you should be doing all along. And that is behaving yourself with wisdom. See, wisdom is an act better caught than taught. Because I could sit there and I could teach my children wisdom in many different things. But if I don't act in wisdom, what am I showing them? Which example will they follow? What I said or what I did? What I do? And there will come a time when I can no longer take them out to the woodshed. There will come a time where I no longer feel comfortable calling them up on the phone and giving them lectures and telling them what to do. There will come that time. But when that time comes, the wisdom that we show in our own lives will be light enough for them. It will be. Well, mom doesn't gossip. You ever notice how some of those ladies, they'll get together and we'll get at the family reunion, they'll start running down other family members and they did this and they did that and blah, 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 blah. Mom, don't do that. You know what they'll do? That'll look noble to them. You know, mom always knows what to do in this situation. You know, I know she goes to that church, but she's got a peace about her I ain't got. Why does mom look like she's got it all together? And that's where you get to laugh and tell them, well, mom ain't got it all together, but what I do have helps. Right? Because ain't none of us got it together, am I right? It's always the myth. But you act in wisdom, you're going to draw some people towards it. You're going to draw some people closer to the Lord as they see that the source of your wisdom, and as this verse says here in chapter 31, strength and honor are her clothing. Man, I saw mom in this situation, and no matter what happened, she didn't let up. No matter what happened, she didn't give in to that. She was strong. Many of you, you had strong mothers. Many of you, you're stronger mothers than you give yourself credit for. But we could always be stronger, can't we? You put on strength, and they'll see it. You put on honor, and they'll see it. Why won't you do that, Mom? Why won't you dress this way? Why won't you come out and have a drink with us? Why won't you come over here and do this? Mom, put on honor. Honor for who? For the Lord. Why do you dress that way, Mom? Respect to the Lord. Why are you always going to that church? Respect to the Lord. Why is it that you always, when that lady was taught, I would have punched that lady out, Mom. It would have been a fight on sight, Mom. I don't understand why you were so kind to her. Well, let me tell you. When I act that way, it would have been easy to act in the flesh, and both of us would have looked like a fool. But I acted the way I think God wanted me to act, and I brought honor and glory to Him. And what you also see is that people put honor on you. What an honorable woman. You know, I'd say the same for us men. When we behave with our integrity, when we put on strength and honor, a little bit of that honor comes back on us. People see that honor in us. Hey, they got control over themselves. They're controlling their actions. They're being purposeful. They're giving those things to the Lord. You see, what we need are mothers who can model strength, honor, and wisdom. Long after the children are out of the house. You do it while they're in the house. They'll be bathed in it. Grown in the soil of it. Set to it. They expect it. So they grow up and they'll emulate it. As you continue that on after they've left the house, they'll come back to it. They'll ask about it. They'll ask to recharge from it. The rod and reproof, they bring wisdom. And what the world needs is wisdom. Now, as we continue on in our verse here, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It attacks you a little bit when it says himself, doesn't it, brother? It doesn't say themselves, it says himself. But I'm going to let that go. A child left to their own. A child left to their own will find other ways to entertain themselves. I don't hear voices in my head, but I've got about a billion of them right here. I got this one. And I'm just watching other kids play video games, Ma. Just watching kids. You ever watch those videos? Do you? How do you know what's on those things? How do you know? Well, I'm just talking to some friends. Okay, sweetie. I'm a good mom. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to take away their privacy. There's a difference between allowing your child privacy and allowing them privacy with a predator. There's a difference. You got to guard. Now listen, I think one of the worst things you could do, particularly if you have a daughter, is to take their door away. You ever see that? You slam my door, I'll take your door away. I think a child ought to have some privacy that way. But I would sooner let my child swim with crocodiles than be alone with this thing without me knowing what's going on. Now, I'm not sitting here saying my kids don't get screen time. They get screen time. That's not what I'm saying. But I know what's going on, right? We got to set up now. No matter what you key in, I know what's going on in the computers. Well, that's not very... My oldest child is 10. Judge me. Because I know what I know kind of people are going after 10-year-olds. I've read enough books to understand how they do it, right? I've seen enough of the news to know how they do it. No, thank you. I've seen the content out there. I've seen the things that people are putting out there. And if you put a right soundtrack to the back of it, and the person sounds interesting enough, and they say the phrase in confidence enough, you can get anybody to believe anything. I mean, after all, don't we have cat gender, fairy gender? I mean, we got more than 60 some odd now. Don't make no sense biologically. Ain't trying to trash or pick on folk, but I'm just saying the truth. Some nonsense grows. It grows wild out there on the internet. And we're allowing people to run through it. I don't even run through it without... I know where I'm going and doing stuff. I'm particular for my own self. I'm going to guard that. Who's teaching them? Who's educating them? Well, you don't always get a whole lot of choice. You get a lot more choice than you think you do. Because if you're not teaching them, if you haven't taught them what wisdom and right and wrong seems like, there's going to be a lot of people out there interested in them listening to them. You want to watch your kids. Do not leave them alone. Now, some folks, they use daycare. Some folks, they use latch keys and things like this, and that's all good and well. But for every ounce, every minute, every opportunity that somebody else gets to raise your kid, you better be there with double. You better be there with double to teach them along those lines. Well, how do I do that? Do you help them with their homework? Yeah, I help them with their homework. There's your opportunity. Teach them alongside. Insert some godliness. Insert some instruction. Now, hey, Mom, I like to do this. My teacher taught me this trick. Well, tricks are good, but let's make sure you really know this. Well, my teacher says this about creation. My teacher says this about gender. My teacher says this about relationships. Yeah, but I want to remind you, this is what God says about these things. Some were not even teaching them proper things. I heard the testimony of a lady. Her kid graduated high school. They had the party and everything there. The child was going through the thank you cards and was stopping and spent the same amount of time reading each card, even though some cards were longer than others. You know what she learned at the graduation party after the end as they were going through the cards? Her kid couldn't read. I mean, I had a long conversation with him. He had a girlfriend or something like that, got him through the harder stuff, had buddies that would help him here or there, but mostly the school was so fed up with having to deal with him, they just pushed him through. Could you imagine not knowing your child at the age of 18, can't read, finding that out for the first time? Now, I'm not here to judge that mom, but I would never want to make that mistake. To me, that's one of those things where thank you for sharing your story so I can make sure that that's not my story. Thank you. And I'll gladly do the same. Hey, this is how I goofed, so you make sure you don't goof that way. I'm all for it. The collective mind of parenting, it's a beautiful thing. No shame on people that want to come forward with that kind of a thing. But I'll tell you this, I don't want to be that parent. You know, I sit there, I make jokes about my kids being the preacher's kids. It's just as much my responsibility as anybody else's to make sure my children have a godly education at home. At home. Because I'll tell you what, from the pulpit, there can be just as much lackadaisicalness as there can be in any other home. We must be purposeful, because if we're not talking to them, believe you me, there is a line of folks waiting to talk to them if you are not teaching them right and wrong. And this is what we do in our home. Hey, are you doing it right? Yes. Then don't worry about it, because we get that question. I'm nervous. Well, do you know how to do it? Yeah? All right, then. You got any questions on how to do it? No? Have you done it before? Yep. All right, go for it. It gets all done. All right, you still nervous? No. How you think you did? Well, I did this right, and this right. All right, that's good. All of a sudden, they're not sitting there wringing their hands going, oh, I'm worried. No, teach them. Did you do the right thing? Yes. Did you avoid doing the wrong thing? Yes. You did good. There's your confidence. I don't need to sit there and tell you you're good, special, wonderful, and smart. Right? Because you already know. Did you do it the way you're supposed to? Yep. Awesome. Awesome. Right? And even then, okay, well, you made a mistake, but you see all the right things you did, and you only dumped out right here, right? Yeah. All right, so what do? I fix it. Now look at it. Does it look good? Yeah. How do you know it looks good? Because I know how it's supposed to go. All right, we're done. You don't need to lie to them. You don't need to puff them up. Let the results teach them how to do it right. Let the results build them up. They'll look back at a bunch of things came together good. And they'll be able to say, all right, I'm basing what I think about myself based on my ability to do what I know I'm supposed to, which is wisdom, by the way. There we go. And the reason why I say it is I want you to think about the devil. That serpent that came to talk to Adam and Eve, or talk to Eve. Did he come in and say, oh, no, that's the wrong way to do it. You got to eat this fruit only. No, he didn't. He made him question what the rules were. Hey, were your parents one of those old Baptist churches? Do you guys believe in this or that? Wow, that's weird. Yeah, I don't. I don't believe that stuff, and I get to do all this stuff, right? I get to do all this stuff. You know, I'm a grown person. I could put my hand in a piranha tank. I get to, because my mom's not there to stop me, right? You know what else I get to do? I get to put my head in a bucket of paint. Don't put your head in a bucket of paint. It'll kill you. But I get to do that if I want to. But you know why I don't? It's bad for you. It's bad for you. The reason why we don't do stuff isn't because some old stodgy person wrote a book telling us not to do fun things. The reason is those things God has deemed to be sin. And not just sinful, we can see the problems that come from those things. Both on large scales and small scales. So I don't do those things. Oh man, that's weird that God would say that. But if you do take it, he knows that you'll be as gods. And that's the new modern day philosophy. You can write your own morals. You can do your own things. You know what I mean? You can say what you want to say about yourself because you're special. You're wonderful. You're good. Bible says I was fearfully and wonderfully made. It was never a question of my uniqueness. It was never a question of your intelligence nor ability. That's never the question. God didn't question those things. He gave you those things. But our ears, they itch. And people come by and say, oh, you're so special. You're so wonderful. Come do this thing I want you to do. Come do this thing that would validate me in my sin. Listen, if we're not the voices raising up the word of God in our homes, you know, moms, if you're not there to sit there and to teach and to be aware, your child will be in danger of all those that would come to get him. Right? Used to be, mom would leave you in the car, windows cracked, things like that, no big deal. You know, nowadays that's become quite a problem because some parents have gotten foolish with it, right? When my mom left us in the car, the windows were down just enough for us to breathe, but not enough for people to come in and snatch us, right? She never did it on a super hot day. It was always a nice day out, always cool, no danger. Now we got some knuckleheads out there leaving their kids in the back of the car, windows up, steaming hot day. Whew. Don't leave your kids to themselves. Don't ignore them. Don't let them sit there. Don't let the television raise them. You know, I've got some clowns in my house. As a matter of fact, I got the whole circus. Really do. Sometimes I'll just sit there and I'll watch them do stuff. You ever just sit there and watch kids do stuff? One of the most entertaining things you could have in your life. They'll explain things to me. And I'll feel like I'm talking to some PhD telling me about microbiology. They'll just be using terms and phrases I've got no idea of. And they're very passionate and exciting. I love the passion. I love that something thrills them. Pay attention to your kids. Instill in them things. You know, I've used this illustration before, and it's still very fresh in my mind. We got a problem in not my family here, but we got a problem in some of my extended family on my side, to where when somebody dies, they get super interested in the stuff. You know what I'm talking about? I've got to have the gravy bowl. I cannot have Thanksgiving without none of the gravy bowl. Really? They'll get to where they don't talk to anybody. There's some funerals out there where one person dies, but nine people don't talk to each other anymore. Why? Over something foolish. You got this and I got that. You know? What about the kitchen table? What about the kitchen table? You got a kitchen table? Yeah. Does it hold your food? Amen. You got food to put on top of it? Hey, praise the Lord. If I leave nothing but knickknacks and nonsense for my kids, what a bad parent I'd be. What a bad parent I'd be. And I tell you what, I just assume they pile my stuff together, burn it. I did tell one joke, you know what you guys ought to do? You know, put all my stuff in a room, get a bunch of tasers, last one standing gets all the stuff. Go ahead. Now, I would do that, but I might as well just give it to Melody because I can already tell. Fight's dirty. No, it's useless. The greatest thing you as a mother can leave behind is strength, honor, and wisdom in your children. Strength, honor, and wisdom. And none of those things exist without them being tied to the Lord. Oh, Thomas Aquinas tried it. Humanism tried it. Marx tried it. They all try it to establish these things without godliness. You can't do it. You can't do it. And there are things, I tell you what, when they're kids and they're in the house, it's a very hands-on process. Then they move out, it's a very hands-off process, right? When they move out on their own house, I'm not going to be calling them up at 11 o'clock at night. Hey, did you do your laundry? All right, take your laundry down to the basement, get your laundry done, all right? All right, good. All right, I'm coming over to check your lawn tomorrow. Bye. I'm not planning on doing that. But I do plan on teaching those things here now. Moms, when you got them in the house, be hands on. Don't let them escape your focus. Don't get so caught up in your Hulu, your Netflix, your social media, in your telephone gossip, in these things. Don't get caught up in a career or in anything. If there is anything that would prevent you from being there for your child in every way they need, cut it out. Throw the phone right out the door. Be there for your child. So that way when they're grown, they have had sufficient teaching. Mom taught me reasoning. Mom taught me logic. Mom taught me strength, honor, and wisdom. So I'm going to use those things. There is not a gravy bowl. There is not a knickknack, a pocket watch, a pair of shoes. You know, ask me where that came from. A pair of shoes that you could ever leave behind that would ever be so valuable as strength, honor, and wisdom. Because even when you go hands off, even when you go from mom to grandma, and even when you go from grandma to great-grandma, you model those three things, Lord will bless your children. Lord will bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am grateful for your word that teaches us all these things. Lord, that stands as both teacher, instructor, and encourager in our lives. Father, I'm grateful for your mercy. Because Lord, though I preach these things, I know that perfection is impossible. I know that we will fail. And I know, Father, that as you have in the past, you will forgive us for those failings. But Lord, I ask you to help us to be strong. Help us to do right. Because these things that we do right or wrong is not just between you and us. It's between us, you, and everyone around us. Our level of Christ-likeness, our level of obedience to you affects everything around us, whether we choose to see it or believe it or not. So Lord, help us. Help us to be doing right, that we may raise generation after generation pointed towards you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.